Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm Matt. I'm the host of this podcast that we are doing. Yeah.
You don't sound very sure of that, Matt.
I wasn't. For a second, I had that weird deja vu, but it's not deja vu. It's the jamás vu. Yeah, never before. And I was just like, wait, what am I doing? Who am I? What is this? Oh, it's a podcast. And I do it every week, pretty much. But yeah, it's been an interesting past couple of weeks, and I'm sure the next few will be equally interesting. We're going to start off. We've got a little site business to handle. So I'm going to hand it over to Liz to talk about what we're doing there. And I'd really like to implore you all to listen because this is kind of important for the future of the site. So, Liz?
Yes. Hello. So you may have heard last week, I know a lot of you have heard, that we are having a little bit of trouble as a site because we had this big ad shortfall. Our ad provider left us, and we were dealing with just some ads that paid very terribly. And we had, kind of a budget crisis going on there. And that's continuing, but we've asked people for their Patreon support. And we ourselves have been working on improving our ads on the site, and things have been going super well. I have to thank everyone who has subscribed on Patreon. I don't even have words. A week ago, I was not sure how we were going to do this. I was really not sure if we would be able to keep doing this or if it would be, you know, a site that was like two posts a day and a podcast, because I know the three of us really love doing the podcast. But that's where I was a couple weeks ago. I was just, I don't know how we're going to do this, because we were bringing in about, around $3,000 on Patreon, and we were bringing in a really pathetic amount of money from advertising, and it just wasn't enough to pay all of our writers for what we were trying to do. Especially, you know, when BlizzCon came around, it was like, okay, we're going to do everything we can at BlizzCon and see how it works out. And it just, it was not. But thanks to your kind support, the people who have upped their subscriptions, the people who have come and subscribed for the first time, we are currently making $4,324 a month, which is amazing. That's amazing, guys. That's so amazing. And our goal is to get about 5,000 on Patreon. And in with that, combined with kind of improving our ads on the site, improving our ad revenue, that should stabilize us and let us go back to kind of where we were, you know, doing, you know, six posts a day and more. I really would like to do more off-topic content. That's a side point. But yes, thank you. Thank you for your support. We are currently, we've got some really good signs on advertising. We've just got a new advertising provider set up today as we're recording this. So if you're listening to this in the present or in the future, we have a new advertising provider. How that works is that they're kind of, the advertising provider is kind of experimenting with, you know, positioning on the site and where things go, what type of ads and how many ads work well on the site. So that's in progress. And if you see anything weird, if you see specifically autoplay ads that play audio, let us know about it, because we don't want a bad experience. But at the same time, we do, you know, ads help support the site. Video ads pay really well, but we don't want ads that are annoying, ads that get in the way of reading, ads that are loud, things like that. We don't want that. But that's some very positive signs there. We've just gotten set up with a podcast advertising network. So we're going to start, I'm not sure when we're going to start doing some advertising on the podcast.
Yeah, it should be relatively soon, which means that if you are listening to this as a recording and not on the live show or not in the unedited version that we released on Patreon early, you will notice that they will start creeping in. We're going to make sure that we place them as carefully as we can. And mm-hmm. we're working on getting ones that are relevant to our listeners' interests. But if you do not want to have any ads at all, it is a good time to consider subscribing to our Patreon, because then you do get the ads-free experience.
Mm-hmm. So things are looking really good. Lots of positive signs. For now, the site is continuing to operate on a limited budget because, you know, okay, all of these changes are happening right now, and that's great. That's amazing. But, you know, it's going to take a little while to see how it impacts the site, particularly with advertising, because it's not like they just say, okay, we're going to pay you this much a month, You need to find out, you know, how does it shake out? How do these ads shake out? What part of, you know, how much can they fund the site? So it's probably, y'all read the site, so you've probably noticed that some days we're just doing like 2 posts a day. Right now we have a maximum post count of 4 posts a day if those are short posts. And so, yeah, it's pretty limited. But we're going to be keeping on that level for a little while we see how this shakes out, at least so you can expect to see less written content for a couple of months, probably, while we see how this goes. The other thing, for those of you interested in business, this business talk, the other thing is that advertising revenue, just in general, is usually really good in November and December. Everyone's trying to sell you stuff for the holidays, and it's usually pretty low in January, February, kind of the fallout from the holidays. So we don't want to make the mistake where we go in and are like, wow, we're making all this advertising money. We can start doing all of this content and scale up, you know, too fast, and then find out, oh no, in January, we're not making a lot less money and we need to go back down. So you can't expect us to continue at a sort of reduced posting level for now. And we're going to see how we shake out. These are super, super positive signs. I am so grateful. Everyone at the site is so grateful for your support, helping us out. It truly is what allows the site to exist. Thank you so much.
I wasn't sure you were done. Sorry. Also, my throat's getting to me. I just found out that this pet I have allows me to do transmog. I'm just like, what? Like, I can do transmog on this pet? When the heck did that happen?
Matt's like, thank you for your support. By the way, here's a new outfit.
Yeah, basically.
Fashion watch, the real reason everybody's here.
I haven't actually been playing WoW that much lately, so I'm coming back in now because, you know, it's the big finale and all that. And I'm like, you know, I have a transmog pet? When the heck did that happen? Where did I get this pet? I honestly don't know. So yeah, there's lots of stuff to be happy about. The part where you guys help support us so we don't die, that's great too. I want to make sure you know that. I feel that is also a good thing.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's just the way you said it.
Oh, I know. I did it on purpose. I'm aware of what I'm doing. But yeah, Joe, are you going to try and read the names of the new supporters? And by the way, if you're returning,
no,
if you're
we
upped our pledge, you know, don't worry about that.
Yeah, we're not going to do that on the live show or the live recording. However, there will be either inserted here or towards the end of the podcast, we're going to do a full reading of everybody who has joined us and has helped us by becoming a member of our Patreon. Yeah, I'm going to be doing that individually because there are too many of you. Thank you.
Yes, we appreciate you giving Joe way more work than he can handle. Appreciate it. Yep.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thank you to our new Patreon subscribers. And apologies for any mispronunciations. Simon Valerius Rondeau, Peter Lakatos, Michael Kumar, Matthew Gordon, Cy Wentham, Hammer of Thor 84, Jason Emery, AJ, Azure Loon, Mark, Ryan Halls, James Heibiger, Broxar, Thomas Ian, Pixeled, Zach Goodall, Barbara Brethrick, Steve Garej, Bear Wilson, David Brown, Thomas McDonald, Lee Bisset, Liana Linwood, James Polito, Ta Demons, Errant Soup, Xantar, hopefully no relation to Xanatar, Shinblam, Malin, Snefov, Ledsama, Theril, Kyle Tasker, Gruesome, but what's not gruesome is joining our Patreon, thank you very much, Bradley Welch Harley, Bing Zhao, Robert Goggler, Joel, Jansen Thomas, Simon Clark, Paul Frost, thank you for joining, Frost, it's very cool of you, Stephen Hawking, well, I guess that means we have the approval of the universe, Tracy Jones, RK, Lauren Gilbert, Crow Tomkus, Jeff Bailey, Cideriel, J.R., Vilpana, Altionis, Jody Blackmore, Ben Calise, Joe Uhl, Veku, Deidre McClure, Rari Metheringham, Jonathan Huang, Terry Ryder, Daniel Andrade Group, Gloria Ann Ine, Ghost Badger. Is that like a ghost pirate, but a badger? Chaliel, thank you very much.
There's one more thing I do want to add. Not quite businessy, but I'm trying to make sure that everyone can easily follow the site. I know that's part of the problem. Social media has gotten kind of fragmented. We have fans here, fans there. And it's hard to keep up with stuff. It's hard. So if you are on Blue Sky, we are Blizzard Watch on Blue Sky. If you are on Mastodon, we are Blizzard Watch at gamepad.club. So you can feel free to follow us there. We are posting a little less there than we are on Twitter or Facebook because I don't have a tool that automatically posts things on there. So I have to go in and like type things manually.
It's all like manual now.
Stone Age.
Yeah,
like barbarians.
But that just means you're getting handcrafted artisanal social media if you subscribe on Blue Sky or Mastodon.
I love that. I love that. I love that so much.
I craft these messages myself manually. So yes, if you are off the Twitter thing, not doing the Facebook thing, I can understand that. We are on Blue Sky and Mastodon. Blue Sky Blizzard Watch, Mastodon Blizzard Watch at gamepad.club. Feel free to follow us, like, subscribe. Yeah, you get what I'm saying.
You understand. Look for us on those various social media platforms. Or, you know, hey, just come to the site too. I mean, you can go to blizzardwatch.com. But if you don't, for that matter, if the one thing I wanted to mention briefly before we then do actually talk about other stuff, if you know people who used to read the stuff we wrote on another site, feel free to point them to us. Because we still get emails from people telling us, you know, oh, I didn't know you guys were doing this. It's like, we started this 7 years ago, but it's not really your fault because the previous place wouldn't let us tell anyone where we were going. So a lot of people didn't know.
I feel like the old guy being thrown into the cart in the Mighty Python and the Holy Grail and, you know, no, I'm not dead yet.
Like, yeah, very much.
I do need to jump in there and say it was 8 years ago and it's going to be 9 years in February.
It's still the best birthday gift I ever got. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I'm going to, at this point, try and actually talk about some stuff. Like, the first thing we're going to talk about is actually the world first race in the Defenders of the Dream or Champions of the Dream?
Defenders of the Dream.
Thank you. The Defenders of the Dream patch 10.2 has a new raid, Amir Drasil. And Amir Drasil's got its world first race going. And I know Liz pays a lot of attention to world first stuff. I don't pay as much attention. I think the other Edmontonian, Corey, tends to write up our world first posts.
It's true.
but I am curious about it. So I'm going to throw it to Liz for a bit and say, hey, Liz, what can you tell us about the World First Race up to this point?
Well, I can tell you it's been a little boring, but it's starting to heat up. The thing is, Blizzard has just, the last two raid tiers, has released Heroic and Mythic at the same time. They used to release Mythic a week later. And what this means is that we tune in for the World First Race and we watch them do like 50 Heroic splits trying to get gear. And they do that for days. And it's, you know, so it's like you hype up the beginning of World First and then you have this very unengaging experience where they're all steamrolling Heroic bosses every most guilds. And it's just, it gets old after you see them kill the same bosses like a dozen times, because when they're doing these Heroic splits, they'll do like 40 of them. And that's just what they'll do all day for a couple of days.
So they're rotating people in and out to do that, right?
Yeah, they're rotating players in and out and trying to funnel the ideal gear to the right players. They are, the biggest guilds will also, you know, pay not real money, in-game gold. They'll pay people to come into those raids, and it's like people who can, you know, they just want warm bodies who can pass on loot,
mm-hmm.
so that they can funnel the loot to their players who need it. So we had a couple days where you've got our big names here are Echo, Liquid, and Method, and we had a couple of days where no one is doing anything but Heroic splits and. But, you know, one of the interesting things is you see kind of smaller guilds that maybe don't do this in like a professional capacity where you go and you sit down at your computer and raid all day for 2 weeks. You see them jumping in. And we actually saw Instant Dollars get world firsts on Egira, on Volcross, on Council of Dreams, on Laridar, and on Nimue?
Nimue?
Nimue.
Nimue.
So yes, we saw Instant Dollars come in and really sweep through, you know, 2/3 of the raid before Liquid, before Echo, before Method even got started. It's been fun to watch, but when Liquid started on the raid, they just ran through everything. They just ran through everything up until Smolderon, who is the seventh boss. They just steamrolled it. You saw them go through most of the raid in an afternoon until they hit Smolderon. But even Smolderon wasn't a huge speed bump. They got Liquid got world first on Smolderon in 56 pulls, which. I love when an encounter goes this way. It was the Smolderon kill. Everyone was dead except for a paladin and divine shield. That's the best kind of kill. That's so satisfying. I love it. And as of the time of this recording, everyone is working on the big guilds. That's again, Liquid, Echo, and Method are working on Tendril, Sage, Swift. And Liquid has them down to just under 19%. Echo 26%, Method 49%. By the time you listen to this, if you aren't listening live, that's going to be completely different. But we're really just starting to get into the race part where they're hitting bosses that are a big challenge. And you can actually, you know, watch them work on progression.
What I'm really curious, though, the guild you were just talking about that had gotten like a bunch of the world firsts because nobody else
Instant
was
Dollars.
It.
Yeah.
Are they still in it at all? Or are they pretty much back a couple bosses?
I mean, I think they're also on, I'm actually not sure they've killed Smolderon yet. I think they have killed Smolderon, but, they're just not in that top three.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily rooting for them to win it because this is not actually a Disney movie about, you know, World of Warcraft guilds rating, but I do love the idea that they basically just showed up and nobody knew who they were. And they're like, you know, they got like four or five world first kills in this raid. That's pretty great.
I do need to correct this. They aren't a no-name guild, but they're not. And they usually show up a little bit in World First, but they aren't, you know, they aren't the top three.
Well, they have to be. They have to be at least a mythic rating guild to do this, whether or not. But I still like the idea that instead of the ones that have like the huge marketing deals, it was just this group of people who are just, you know, not as well known. I just like it. It's fun. That's one of the most heartwarming stories I've seen since that one I saw the other day of the bat rescue that, you know, had a bat show up after they rescued it and leave them presents, left them berries. I'm sorry. It was a heartwarming bat.
It is a very heartwarming bat story.
Sorry. I've been reading a lot of like, I've been going to a lot of sites with like, you know, heartwarming animal stories because it's been a stressful while for a month. So that's what I've been doing to relieve myself. Nothing's going to top the squirrel that literally leaves a cookie for the woman that feeds it. She went and stole cookies for her. She's been stealing cookies from somebody else and bringing them to her. And it's like, how does this squirrel even know we like cookies? But, you know, I think they like this. Anyway, to get back to World First. So we're up to, like, how many are left? How many bosses are left?
There are just two bosses, Tendril, Sage Swift, and Phyrak. Wow, I headed into that wrong. The big guilds are working on Tendril Sage Swift, or T Swift, as everyone seems to be calling him, and it's getting pretty close there.
So, are we under the assumption that Tendril Swift is going to be another one of those like next to the raid boss who like I don't want to say pulls an Anduin, but I'm gonna who pulls an Anduin and is like, you know, acts like a real roadblock, or are we thinking
he has the potential the fight itself can go sideways really quickly, and the fact that you do have to travel between three platforms, essentially, your intermissions are dragon riding. Mm-hmm. So you can get hit with any sort of random nastiness like disconnects or lag, and they're more likely to happen during those transitions. Although people in the World First race, generally speaking, are in a position where that they try to minimize it as much as possible. But the fight isn't necessarily easy. I mean, on normal, it was okay. I'm not looking forward to it on heroic. I can't imagine how brutal it is on mythic.
And Liquid has already done 398 pulls on Tendril Sage Swift. So
yeah, that tracks.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, there's so much damage happening all the time in that fight too.
And of course, in patch 10.2, Blizzard did a big pass on healers and reduced overall healing numbers and reduced raid cooldown power and increased mana usage and decreased mana cooldowns. So
and mana regen. Mana regen's nerfed into the ground too. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Blizzard.
It's a tough time to be a healer. And these fights do have so much damage going out. And you really see that on the mythic level, just how much damage these guys are taking. And wow, I'm glad I'm not a healer at this level, because this is rough, super rough.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I would probably be going out of my gourd.
Yeah, I think it's a little too much for me personally, but it is fun to watch them do it. They can suffer for me.
All right. Well, since we just talked about the Amadrasil World First race, we can talk about other stuff involving patch 10.2 now. For instance, two things that I mentioned. Oh, you know what? We're going to do the thing that you mentioned in chat, Liz. Talk about the Mother's Gift for Diablo 4. So that's the XP bonus, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. Mother's Blessing is going to be available through November 27th. So that's... You get a full week of it, but if you're listening to this later, then you may get a little less. November 7th, you've got all of the Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S. to play as much Diablo as you want. There is a 35% gold and experience buff that you can get it on any character at any level. And I don't know if y'all have been playing much Diablo this season during Season 2, but leveling is a heck of a lot faster, just baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And with an extra 35% experience, I think it's going to be pretty easy to blaze through those levels. I have not yet gotten a single character to level 100 because, you know, I played after the game was released. And then I played in Season 1 on a new character, and neither of those characters got to level 100. I'm now working on a Season 2 character, which is only in the 50s. And so can I get to... I think this is the time. I think I can get... character to level 100. And it's a real hard call whether I'm going to really work on this week or whether I'm going to be distracted by Baldur's Gate 3. But I want to put in some Diablo time and really make the most of this. And one good thing about hitting level 100, you can try the Abattoir of Zir, which opens on December 5th. That's a level 100 kind of ultimate grueling challenge that's just for season 2, I believe. So get up there to level 100, and then you can do something really, really terrible and punishing. If that's
if that sounds fun to you, then that would explain why you play Diablo. It is not exactly a game full of happy, shiny bunnies. And if they are ever in the game, they get murdered. Anyway, there's that this weekend, starting on the 27th, which I believe is said 27th, I thought.
It lasts until the 27th. It is live right now until the 27th.
So you can be doing it right now if you want, guys. Mm-hmm. All right. That's cool to know. We also, going back to WoW for a bit, you've got the Grotto Netherwing is now available as part of the quests that Rathion and I can't remember her name, the Virenoth, the quests that Rathion and Virenoth give us in patch 10.2, as part of that quest chain, you can now get the Grotto Netherwing mount that was originally available on the trading post. If you don't have it already, you can now get it. So that's cool. And you can also get the Illidari Doomhawk from the anniversary vendor. These are both mounts that have existed in the past and weren't currently available that are now back. You can pick them both up. One of them you just have to do some quests, and the other you basically have to go kill the anniversary event. I think it's Doomwalker that you have to kill. Yeah, you go kill Doomhawker. Go kill Doomhawker. go kill Doomwalker, and you can get the currency you need to buy Illidari Doomhawk, which is basically a big fell bird. So
you have just reminded me. I don't think we mentioned that the World of Warcraft anniversary event is now live.
Yeah, we didn't.
The game. Wow, it's been a week, guys. It's been a week, and it's only Tuesday for us in the time space we're recording this. World of Warcraft is 19 years old, and saying that is difficult because I feel like my body is crumbling to dust, but...
It can vote, and it legally drinks on occasion, but it will be drinking legally in less than 2 years, so yeah. Although I live in Canada, so actually I don't think this one, but...
It's kind of the same old, but if you log on right now, you can get a 19% reputation and experience buff, so that's not as much as in Diablo right now, but that's still pretty good.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, it is good. It is, plus it's the 19th anniversary. You really don't want to miss the 19th anniversary, because then when you do the 20th, you're going to feel weird if you have a gap just the previous
year. A single year.
I mean, I logged in knowing full well that I would be doing the anniversary.
And I believe that is live until December 7th. So you have some time.
Yeah, you have until my birthday. Uh-huh. So that'll be my birthday present, I guess, getting to play World of Warcraft. I do anyway. It's like not really much of a birthday present. But anyway, both of those things are there. Since we were talking about Mythic World First, it's probably a decent time to mention that in addition to them dropping that much earlier, they've also increased both they've made Raid Finder start earlier, and they've accelerated the release schedules, because Wing 2 is already available this week.
Which is fantastic.
That's really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's literally what I'm doing after we're done with the podcast with both of my tunes.
Oh, yeah, cool. And I think that the next one is 2 weeks from now. And then the last one is a week after that. I'm not sure. Because I don't know if it has three or four wings in Raid Finder.
I think there's going to be four wings.
So I think one of them is just going to be Fyrak.
Probably.
I think it's probably going to be next week we get the next wing, and then Fyrak will be 2 weeks from that. Because usually the last boss, the gear is better. There's all sorts of reasons why you want to make people wait. So, but this is still the fastest Raid Finder release we've had in quite some time. I can't remember. Raid Finder always opened staggered, didn't it? Or did it the first time? Because the first Raid Finder, as far as I remember, was in Cataclysm.
It was always staggered, and then there was always a wait between the wings, a 2 week cooldown at the very minimum.
Yeah. Man, I just realized that Cataclysm was a full decade and then change.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Isn't also, this week coming, not this week, but next week, we're going to get WoW Classic Season of Discovery. Isn't that on the 30th?
So it's on November 30th. Let me jump back into Amir Drasil. We do get another wing on the 28th.
Okay. And
the last wing on December 12th. So
yeah.
Two wings to go, 28th and the 12th.
So the 28th is literally next week. It's next Tuesday.
Crazy how that happens.
Yeah, so we'll be podcasting, unfortunately, for us, and we want to go. But then there'll be another one. There'll be another one literally 2 weeks. The 12th is 2 weeks from then. So that's also when Diablo 4 is going to get its winter holiday, which, as I believe I said, I believe I described it as bedazzled with skulls. Because man, even they at BlizzCon, that's what they were all they were talking about was all the skulls. It's going to be a skulltastic time. But that's happening right around the same time. I think it's the 11th or the 12th.
I think it's the 12th.
So yeah, we're getting that. We're getting the last Raid Finder wing. It's going to be a busy holiday season for Blizzard. I don't know if dropping the raid when they did was the best for their state of mental health, but they're going to definitely going to be working.
Yeah, because it looks right now like the raid may last through Thanksgiving in the US, which is this Thursday. It is Tuesday as we are recording this, and there's still two bosses to go. Two bosses.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just two bosses. I don't know. I didn't have anything to add. My brain was just going, two bosses. Brain, not now. Please. Please, brain. But yeah, we might actually, we don't know when they're going to get the bosses down. Sometimes the bosses take forever to get down. Sometimes they go down much faster than you expect. It's who knows? But definitely could be still up by Thanksgiving. There's absolutely no reason it might not be.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of what else do we have to talk about. I think we covered the thing that you mentioned.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything except for the fact that I blanked on the Warcraft's anniversary. It's only been 19 years.
We all did.
My brain is 19 years older. You can't expect me to remember all this stuff.
Yeah, it's jam packed full of things.
Things.
Might work. Anyway, but I think we're going to move on to do some questions. We've got a few this week. I wanted to really quick mention that if one of the cool things about being a Patreon subscriber, and yeah, I know, but we really do need to get more, is that you get to have your questions answered on this podcast and Lorewatch too. First, we look at your questions first. There's a special patrons channel for that. We do look at others as well, but we do look at patrons first because it's a nice way for us to say thank you.
I do want to stress that you don't have to pay us in order to get us to answer questions. Just, ask us questions. We are always eager to have them.
Absolutely. This question also we have a giant question. There's an email from our old friend, Razorbug, unless you're Joe. Apparently Joe doesn't have to call him Razorbug.
For me, it's Razorberg, like Dinkelberg from the Fairly Odd Parents.
Anyway, so if you have a question for us, the ways to reach us are you can send it to us via email at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch so we know it's for this show and not, say, Lore Watch or Tavern Talk or any of the other times. Who knows? By next year, we could have 17 podcasts. I have no idea. But you can also go to our Discord. And again, if you're a patron, you can go to the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel and ask a question there. And if you are not a patron, you still want to ask us a question, we do still have a channel just for anybody to use. That's the Q and Podcast Questions channel, and you can absolutely use both. And often if you leave a question for the Q, I steal it for the podcast, even though it's been answered in the Q, because I just don't care and I want to talk about it. I am that kind of person. But
can't confirm.
We've got three here. One of them is enormous and one of them is three parts. So I'm going to read so that these guys can react first, because you've had a lot of me talking tonight, and I've got a whole thing full of liquid here I'll be ingesting. So first up is from Randomly Rantings. He or she has Jamie in parentheses, and I don't know. It could be, but I can't say that. Like, if I try saying it and I end up saying hi, see, I just did it. I'm very bad with any pronunciations. So, question for the podcast. As a person who has played WoW since Illidan decided to change careers and decided to babysit Sargeras, what would be helpful to know for someone to jump back in? I'm not sure if you mean someone who hasn't played WoW since then.
I think it has to be hasn't.
Yeah, but regardless, I'm going to let these two go because they're both really knowledgeable on this subject, I hope, because I'm not. So, sure. Liz.
You just throw this stuff at me? Well, so in the latest expansion, Dragonflight, we have gone back to the Dragon Isles. I think this is a great expansion to jump back in on because it's kind of the start of a new chapter of World of Warcraft. And, you know, we're all going off to the Dragon Isles together and exploring this new place and dealing with some dragon politics. And also, we're helping some dragons. We're murdering some dragons. There's a lot of dragons happening here. Just dragons everywhere. The big thing that you're going to have to get used to is talent trees. Talent trees have gone crazy. They have gone back to kind of that old vanilla style talent trees where you have these huge multi-option branched paths you can follow. There's a lot of choices. So if you're logging in for the first time in a while, that's going to be what's going to throw you because the talent system has radically changed. I will say that there's kind of a starter talent build it gives you just baseline so you don't have to go and make 30 choices, 40 choices all at once, figuring all that out. You can just jump in and start playing, but you're probably going to want to tinker with that because there's a lot of customization in there. You can kind of choose to go this way or that way with a lot more depth than you could before. So that's going to be the biggest thing that's going to throw you if you've been away from the game for a while. I happen to like it a lot, but it's a big headache if you're just jumping in and you just want to jump into the game and play. It can be a big headache. So if you're coming back, I would say go in, take a glance at those talent trees, but just go with whatever the starter build is and, you know, play around, get a feel for it before you start trying to min-max or customize because, you know, you're here to play the game. And I think you can jump in and play the game, but you may not be 100% optimized. Just go for it. Have fun.
Professions have changed quite a bit. That's another thing to be aware of.
That's true.
So in an effort to make professions more involved and to allow for players to provide more services to other players, instead of just throwing things up blindly on the auction house, there's brand new interfaces available, as well as, a brand new system in order to request, items being crafted from other players, whether they're in your guild, your friends, or otherwise out there in the public. And it means that you can actually go and have potentially an easier time seeking specific things getting made for you. But it is wildly different and you will need to be aware of it. Some of the higher level crafting requires you to be at a specific location and using something like if you're a jewel crafter, you will be spending a good chunk of time at your jewel crafting bench inside of the main city. I just spent like 15 minutes doing this before the podcast, so this is why it's fresh on my mind. And it's not a bad thing. It's actually, I was very worried about it at first, but I do actually really like it, but it is a lot to wrap your head around. So plan on spending some time getting reacquainted with everything that is crafting.
I would add in there that the work order system by which you can go and request someone craft something for you is pretty amazing. You can go, instead of, you know, trying to hunt things down on the auction house, including things that maybe bind on pickup that you usually can't even get at the auction house, you can go and put in a crafting order and say, hey, I need this thing. Here are the materials. Someone make it for me. And someone will just make it for you. And then you have it. It is a great way to get geared up, though some of the rarer patterns can still be hard to find. But that I really found that was a super game changer in getting geared up, because you could just go and be like, hey, someone make me a shield. You know, make me this really powerful BOP shield. And it's like, someone will do it. It's great.
Yeah. I'm literally about to do that with a pair of boots after this podcast with one of my guildies.
Okay. I think that you guys pretty much answered that question. I'm going to add that there's a lot more accessibility options than there used to be. There's stuff for motion sickness, color blindness, difficulty just plain old seeing. There's actually like a speech to text option for some things. There is a lot more accessibility in this expansion than there ever has been in World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's, I mean, I don't think they're done. I think there's probably more to do, but I do like it. There's also stuff like one example is certain fights they've been given modes so you can literally turn off a feature that is just too much for you to process. One that comes to mind is when the Cataclysm dungeons come up is in Mythic Plus, you may end up going back to, I want to say Iron Docks.
Yeah.
The one with the train. There's the Iron Docks.
Grimrail.
Railroad. Yeah. When you're on Grimrail, there's a fight where you're literally on the train as it's moving outside. So stuff is whipping past you. It can be really hard if you get motion sickness. I say this from experience, cause I remember tanking that thing, and just having to I had to pretend I was tanking, in Tempest Keep back in the day, and I had to point my camera to the ground so that all the spell effects wouldn't make my computer die. Except in this case, it was me pointing my camera to the ground so that all the motion effects wouldn't make me die, because I get motion sick. And I just was like, I can't. Oh, God. Gonna hurl. And they took that out. They didn't take it out. You can turn it off for your character. It looks a little odd. You're standing on a train that nothing is happening, but at least it doesn't make you want to lose your lunch. And I think that stuff like that, and we've seen more of it as this expansion has gone on, has been really, really welcome. It's really a great time. Also, I just found this one out today. If you are logging into WoW on a character who hasn't played in a while, they will offer you, they're like, you want your quest logs cleaned out and new equipment given to you? And if you say yes, they will just do it. You say yes, they tell you what spec to pick. You have three specs, pick one you want, and you can pick whichever one you want, and then you get gear that's your level.
It will take a couple minutes when you tell the game to do it. Yes. It's not absolutely instantaneous, so be prepared to take an extra minute or two, to go make that option and walk away and come back after a couple minutes, and then I think the last character I did that on, it took, I think, 15, 20 minutes for everything to settle down.
I did it today on a character, and it took me like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it might depend on the load happening at that time, too.
Yeah, I think it is definitely dependent on that. But it is there, and it's really helpful if you stopped playing, say, back in the Burning Crusade. We've had like a character squish since then. You know, like we had a level squish. You were at level 70. The highest level in the game is currently level 70.
Yeah.
So you will not be level 70 when you log in. So
yeah, and the other thing too, speaking of accessibility, and I don't want to dwell on this too long because I think Matt covered most of it. There is also accessibility in quests as well, where not just turning off options from fights, but some people have a very difficult time with dragon riding, especially in Emerald Dream. Dragon riding, if you the quests that come up that have you need to be on your dragon riding mount, it says, you can just click here and we'll fly you around and do the thing, and you can just click the button while you go and not have to worry about it, which is a really, really nice touch. So I think that it's good. They're paying way more attention to accessibility than they ever have before.
Yeah, and so that's a nice thing to know and to be aware of, so you can make the maximum use of it. Because if you don't know it's there, then you can't necessarily. But I think that pretty much covers some basics.
Yeah.
We could basically do a whole show about this, but, you know, I feel like that gets...
Well, if we're going to do that, I'm going to get one. I know somebody who's an accessibility expert, and I will have them on the show as a guest.
Cool. But we're going to move on to the next one, which is from Crow.
Hi, Crow.
Who used to write stuff for us, too.
Yep. Yeah.
And Crow asked three questions. It's a three-parter. This was originally intended for the queue, and I think Annabelle wrote an answer to one part of this, but we're going to do all three. First one, with the notion of a bullet heaven like Vampire Survivors turning into a game mode within WoW, what other games do you want to see pop up? So I'm going to throw this around to you guys. I'm going to go to Joe first this time because I threw it at Liz last time. So, Joe?
Dance Dance Revolution or Crypt of the NecroDancer / Cadence of Hyrule. I am so in love with that, with rhythm style gameplay. I want rhythms. I would be so happy. I know it's not for everybody, and we just got done talking about accessibility, but if I could hook up my USB dance pad to my computer and do something in WoW with it, I would be absolutely giddy. All right, that's my answer.
Okay.
Are we talking about the return of the dance studio? Is that what we're saying here?
Oh, if we had the return of the dance studio and I could put my dance pad up to the computer and just be rocking out as my little dwarf self in game, I'd be so happy. What about you, Liz?
I unfortunately do not have an answer for this. I thought about this and I'm like, I my brain isn't going anywhere. So I'm just going to leave it to y'all. I like Joe's idea.
Matt, what about you?
Well, I would have said an auto battler, but they tried that and didn't really work the way we wanted it to. And they kind of did like a Torghast was sort of their roguelike.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say a role-playing game.
Didn't we get that though in the Court of Stars?
Not really. No.
The murder mystery.
I would say that the Court of Stars had elements.
Okay.
But it felt more like a narrative game. And that's a difference. There's different things.
Which is for sure.
I really would like to see, you know, and here's the thing. I kind of think we are sort of getting it because we're getting like delves and the world, you know, the world exploring can be played completely solo type of gameplay. That's like open world RPGs. That's what that is. That's like you can now play WoW like an open world RPG. You can play it like Assassin's Creed Odyssey or, you know, you name the open world RPG of your choice. You can play it like Skyrim. You can play it like whatever. That's a distinctive play style that you really only get in open world RPGs and now in WoW. And I know other MMOs have something similar. For example, the Elder Scrolls is getting, they have their like infinity mode or something. I can't remember what it's named, but I've seen the ads for it. They basically do an endless dungeon thing where you can go in by yourself and it just never ends. You just keep going until you die. That's what it is. Delves aren't that, but I know that I know Final Fantasy has similar mechanics in their MMO as well. I'm really interested in seeing if the delves are just presented as endless loot crawls or if there's story to them other than, you know, we know we're going to be helping like somebody as our, like they're going to be like our NPC buddy as we go through. I think Bran Bronzebeard was the guy they mentioned.
Yeah.
Not the guy I'd first look for, but at least he's not going to be constantly telling me about the wound. So I'm at least okay with that. But that's something I want to see if that ends up being what I'm talking about, because I would love to see more actual RP elements in World of Warcraft. The thing about massively multiplayer online role-playing games is they have very little of role-playing to them. And even when they do have it, it's often like a lot of it is in raids and stuff. And I mean, I've gone from a guy who got like server first fairly frequently to a guy who was raiding Mythic to a guy who barely gets to raid at all, partially because I'm blind and partially just because of time. I just don't have the time. And I love the story in these games. I'd love to see new ways to get it put in. And if the delves can do that, I'm super for it. So that's what I'm going to say. That's my answer for this one. Y'all ready for part two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go.
I'm not going to read them in a funny voice because I don't want to. You are given carte blanche to add a new hero to Heroes of the Storm. Is it from another Blizzard game, a Nexus original like Orphea or Kira, or are we going to Super Smash Brothers and pulling in someone from a whole different game studio? I guess the son, Liz.
I would really like to see more Blizzard characters, because there are a lot of characters that didn't get a chance to be in Heroes of the Storm. I mean, Lilith is an easy one to talk about now, since she showed up with a big role in Diablo 4, and that all kind of happened after Heroes of the Storm sort of died down. I think Blizzard has so many characters that you can keep building out this universe, and you can build out, you know, weird little alternates for everyone where it's like, okay, it's Lilith, but now she's a space marine. You know, that's one of the things I loved about Heroes of the Storm, is kind of all the crazy little side stories you found in it through skins.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that there's just so much room to expand here. Just staying within Blizzard Games, I think that's great. You've got lots of material, lots of things people would like to play. Also, kind of a side note, we got a pretty big Heroes of the Storm patch last week, which Corey's reading a lot into this and thinks maybe Heroes of the Storm is coming back. Maybe we're going to get more Heroes of the Storm.
I would be very happy if that was the case. Not gonna lie.
I know Corey's really looking forward to it. So I hope it will happen to make y'all happy, because bringing joy to the world, that is what we want. We want more joy in the world. That's all I got. That's it.
I really would have liked to have seen more original characters in the Nexus. Orphea was a really cool idea, and the idea that it was tied to the Nexus and that the Nexus was its own thing. Because originally, when it was announced, it was essentially Dota, and then it was its own thing, where it was Heroes of the Storm, but it was like these heroes are coming from their respective worlds where these games are still going on, and they understand what's going on in their game worlds and also in the Nexus. It's this sort of in-between place. And then the Nexus evolved into its own thing. Like, it was its own, like, universe and its own variant of everything that fell into it. And I really liked that idea. And when Orphea released, Orphea was a really cool design, like, choice. I like MOBAs. I like MOBAs a lot. I thought Heroes of the Storm fit a really important niche in the MOBA environment. MOBAs tend to be very daunting for new players, mostly because items and itemization is such a huge part of it. And because you're earning gold while you're doing things like in League of Legends or Smite or any of this stuff, you're earning currency to then spend on resources and convert them into items to make yourself more powerful. If you buy the wrong item, you kind of mess your build up. What Heroes of the Storm did is it gave you the option of, here are just talents. Everything else, you don't have to worry about gear. Here's your character. Go have fun. Here are your abilities. You may get a choice between two different R's or ultimates. It may change what some of your abilities do. But overall, your character didn't feel useless. And no other MOBA really has that. You can royally mess up your characters. And then Orphea came along and showed what you could do when you played with that design space with an original character that wasn't tied to anything else. And one thing that I think is really interesting, and I haven't really heard a lot of people mention this, and maybe Corey did, and I missed this. And if you did, I apologize. If you didn't, I'm going to say shame on you. The healing of Evokers started in Heroes of the Storm. Like, when you got Alexstrasza, like, with her healing, that's Evoker healing. That's where those abilities started. And, like, because they were playing with the idea of, what does it mean to be a healer? What does it mean to, you know, be a hybrid? And they were toying with the idea. And then years later, here we have an expansion about dragons where Evokers would not have existed had they not done that in Heroes of the Storm. So, and I will say that their version of Alexstrasza is arguably an original character because of that. Versus like Uther, where it was just like, yep, I'm a paladin, I throw light around. And it's like very, very much things that you would have expected to see in Warcraft 3 from him, or in World of Warcraft from him, versus that. But yeah, more original characters would have been absolutely fantastic. And if we do get a resurgence with Heroes of the Storm getting a second chance at life, which I really, one of these days, it'll, like, I don't know that it'll ever happen, but my heart, I'm going to light the candle. I'm going to pray a little bit, and maybe it'll happen, but maybe we'll get some more original characters someday. But yeah, Sorry. That was a whole lot of talking because you got my hopes up. The big original patch, I'm right there with you reading into it, Corey.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing about the patch was it was like adjusting the listed difficulty levels of different heroes. And, you know, why would you bother doing this on a game that's not going to have some continuation? Why would you change the listed difficulty level playing a hero is?
Because you're going to probably put it in some place where new eyes are going to get a hold of it, such as, I don't know, Game Pass. Just throwing it out there.
Interesting thought. Yeah.
Matt, what about you?
I mean, this question immediately made me think of Multiversus, the Warner throwing everything in the kitchen sink game.
There's a sequel to it now where they've expanded even further, Multiversus 2.
And I always felt like Multiversus had more potential than it was even showing. Like, in much the same way that Super Smash Bros. Is kind of its own cottage industry at this point. But obviously Heroes wasn't that kind of gameplay. Heroes was pretty standard MOBA gameplay. Not standard, but if you've played a MOBA, you would recognize Heroes. You would know how to play it. And if you haven't played a MOBA, it's not hard to pick up. Like, I went into Heroes having never played a MOBA in my life. And the next thing I know, I'm enjoying Malfurion, which is like, I'm enjoying Malfurion. Sounds like such a strange thing to say, but it's true. I liked playing Malfurion in Heroes because his healing style was really aggressive. He was very much, he was kind of the ultimate distillation of druid healing, where he was just like, he was healing everything with hots all the time. And he was very active, and I had fun playing him. So I wouldn't be against seeing them pulling a Smash Brothers in terms of who can be in it. I wouldn't just pull one dude though. I'd literally say, don't bring it back as Heroes of the Storm, bring it back as like Microsoft All-Stars or something. And just start pulling in characters from every game studio they have. The Doom Marine, Master Chief, the people from Prey, you know, the globby monster, the Typhon from Prey, both of the protagonists of Dishonored, just the Wolfenstein, you know,
Alan Wake
and his flashlight.
Because the Alan Wake 2 just came out, and that's one of the other games that I recently purchased.
But
anyway.
But think about it in terms of like one of my favorite fighting games was always Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah.
Or, you know, X-Men versus Capcom before that. And it's because it's goofy. Like Phoenix Wright is fighting Deadpool. In any sane universe, this is not a fact that lasts very long. But I like that, you know, Phoenix Wright can literally sit there and just hit you with objections and you're like, ah, you know, I would like to see something like that. I would think it was fun to see something, but if I have to pick one character that I'm going to bring in, just one hero, it would be Anduin Lothar.
Of course.
Because we've literally haven't gotten to see Anduin Lothar actually do anything since Warcraft 2. The guy's been dead forever. And not even when we went to the land of the dead, we didn't even get to see him there. Like, I was like, I cannot believe you're putting all these warriors in this place and Anduin Lothar is not here. Like, it's like when they did the Legion Warrior Hall and there were no warriors there, but you know, and of course other players, but there were no famous lore heroes, warriors were there. Meanwhile, go to the Paladin Hall, go to the Death Knight Hall, go to the Mage Hall, go to the Hunter Hall. You're tripping over famous people of those classes. Like you couldn't put two people in here.
And I got Magatha.
Yeah. Now, you also got other people, though, man. There were, like, lots of, like, Nobundo was there, dude. Nobundo's cool.
But also Magatha. Anyway.
Quite frankly, I think Magatha's great. I mean, she's evil, but, you know, yay. She's evil in a fun way. Regardless, though, yeah, it would be Anduin Lothar. That would be my answer to that. There's one more question here. I don't know how much time we have.
We are pretty much at time, so if we want to finish up the last part of it.
Yeah, I'm going to finish up the last part, because my answer to this is real quick. The inverse of question number one, what's a concept within WoW, whether it's a narrative element, a character, a faction, a game system, whatever, would you Thanos snap TM out of existence? Just completely erase, no one remembers it, never happened. Nothing.
Yeah.
Even the bad stuff is part of the journey for me at this point. Like, even the stuff, like, even the charge bug from original, you know, vanilla World of Warcraft, I don't want it erased from history. I want to remember how angry it made me. I want to remember my wife literally saying, wow, Blizzard's found a way to transfer, you know, the experience of being completely consumed by rage straight to the player. And I would be like, yes, it's very fun. So yeah, no, nothing. You guys?
I'm in the same camp. Like maybe going back and taking a pass at some of the questionable characterizations, but that's really about it. Like everything else though, I would keep.
I wouldn't erase those because I don't want people to forget them.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I mean, there are some that I would possibly, if I could nudge them away from them. Yeah. I think I'd probably do some nudging. Yeah. Liz.
Well, I have a serious one and a less serious one. My serious one is faction divide. I know this is the war in Warcraft, Horde versus Alliance. But you know, World of Warcraft is 19 years old and it has spent 19 years making it difficult for me to play with my friends. You know, you had to be on the correct server. You had to be the correct faction. And they've expanded that slowly over time. You know, okay, servers, you had connected realms so you could be on different realms but still be in a guild. Now we have cross-faction guilds. In the War Within, we're going to have cross-server guilds. So basically, we're removing all restrictions, almost all restrictions, so you can just be in a guild. But if I could go back 19 years ago, I would just say, but what if we could just play with our friends? It's a massively multiplayer game. What if we could just play with our friends because we want to play with our friends and have fun?
Yeah.
I would be very happy with that. I don't have that power, but I would be very happy. I'm happy it's coming, at least. My less serious answer is New Orgrimmar. I could do without that. It's still, at this point, New Orgrimmar has been Orgrimmar for longer than old Orgrimmar was Orgrimmar, but I still call it New Orgrimmar, and I don't like it. I'm that crotchety old woman, and I'm upset with change, even though this change is now like a decade old.
But it's starting to lose all meaning, the word Orgrimmar. Orgrimmar. But you know, I understand you. That makes sense to me.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, hopefully, Crow, you're entertained by our attempting to answer your questions. I think at this point we're going to be going. So first Joe is going to step in and then Liz is going to do a little reminder. And then finally we will.
Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast sighting community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ad-free site experience. My cat bit me in the middle of saying that. You're welcome, everybody.
Liz?
We want to thank all of you who have supported us on Patreon over the past couple of weeks. And everyone who's increased their pledges on Patreon, you guys mean so much to us. We appreciate your support. It's what lets us continue making this site and making this podcast. So if you can, we really appreciate that support. If you can't, that's okay. You know, we're glad you're here listening. We're glad you're here reading. Share the podcast with a friend. And thanks.
All right. Yes. Thank you guys very, very much. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. On behalf of myself, Liz, and Joe, who are both awesome people, thank you guys so much for being here with us. We will be back next week. Thanks to you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.